Mark. Really, my throat doesn't hurt at all. It just sounds rough. It took a lot of yelling and screaming to keep Lauren in line. Of course, Shannon was about the most unruly. No, it was a real joy to have Lauren and Kyle and Shannon along with us. Nothing at all to be ashamed of whatsoever. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. If you're able to, would you stand with me this morning as we read from God's Word? I'm going to begin reading with verse number 28 of Mark 12. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. Did you catch those words in that last verse that we read? Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day, for the privilege of being in your presence this morning. I ask for your anointing today, clarity of mind and clarity of speech. Lord, I pray for your anointing this morning for our ears and our heart that we might hear and be receptive. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and speak through me this morning. We'll bow and give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a real simple subject this morning. A real simple title. And that would be, Nearly Saved. Nearly Saved. According to this passage, this scribe was really one of the leaders. He was one of the religious people. He knew what the Bible had to say. He knew what the Old Testament prophets had to say. And he was quizzing, as so many of the people had done. The Pharisees and the scribes had quizzed Christ, trying to catch him in some kind of an error, or some kind of a hypocrisy, and even heresy. But it comes down to this last verse that we read, verse 34, and Jesus responds to his discreet questioning and answering, and tells him that he's not very far away from the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, but that raises an eyebrow for me. that somebody in this capacity, Christ would say about them that they were close, that they were not very far away, but the implication is they did not belong. There's all sorts of people who have heard the gospel but have come up short. There's a lot of people round about that have an understanding of the gospel, but they still come up short. I'm reminded of the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus with a sincere heart, I believe. He came with an open heart. He wanted to know what it would take in Christ's mind to make it to heaven. And so he asked him, and Jesus said, "What about the commandments?" And the man responded to him, "I've kept all of these commandments from my youth up." And Jesus told him that there's one thing that he lacks. And the man went away sorrowful because it was more than what he was willing to pay. Or it was more than what he was willing to do. It was more than what he was willing to give. I'm reminded also of a man in Acts chapter 26. We know him as King Agrippa. Paul standing before him, telling him about the plan of salvation. And King Agrippa's response to Paul the apostle that day was as well startling when he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now, isn't that amazing that some people can come so close to an understanding and so close to an experience with God, a saving experience with Jesus Christ, but they come up short? "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I think of Judas Iscariot. This man is extremely hard to understand. He was one of the called. Called by Jesus Christ Himself. There was something about him that Christ called him to be one of His 12 chosen disciples. We know that he spent 3 years walking with Christ, walking the land, seeing all the miracles, watching Christ pray and understanding that Christ would pray through the night. He knew that Christ had the power to raise from the dead. He knew that He had the power to heal the leper and heal the blind man and heal the withered hand and do all sorts of things in the way of healings and miracles upon miracles. The food that was simple and so small and minute was able to be stretched and multiplied to feed thousands of people with an exorbitant amount left over. Judas had seen all of these things. But in the end, we understand that Judas had gone out and he hung himself because he had betrayed the one that he knew to be that of truth. So close to the kingdom of God and yet came up short. I've met people that have admired the kingdom of Christ. They've admired the Christian people, the Christian way. They may even have understood the Christian way or the holiness way. They may have appreciated the laws of the kingdom. There are some people that live so close to the laws of the kingdom that they even enjoy a measure of the protection that comes. Yeah, there's protection that comes to those that abide by God's laws. Some people live so close to the kingdom of God that they will even talk about its privileges. But they do not experience the fullness. They are not really a part of it because they have never come to the cross and allowed the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away the dirt and the black of sin. They have never turned from their sinful ways or those things that bind them and hold them down. They never give up the things that brought the blackness to the heart in the first place? Or maybe it could even be that of the seed that fell among the thorns or on the stony ground. Sprung up quickly and then very soon was gone. The cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the pride of life. All of these things may have taken place and choked out that seed, and yet that person still went on believing in all the things that a Christian would believe in, but they did not experience the joy of Christ's salvation. I've met people, I'm sure you have as well, that when the Holy Spirit begins to convict the heart of sin, there's some people that'll take preliminary steps before they ever become a Christian. Those preliminary steps may be something like this, where they will abandon some of their sin. They will abandon some of their bad habits. They will even begin to attend meetings. And some of them are very faithful in attending services. Their preliminary steps may even include that of paying their tithes or giving of offerings. Reading their Bible every day and praying and studying and seeking God's help. How many people have you talked to who say that they pray every day asking God for His divine help and protection through the day, but they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Imagine being so close to the kingdom of God and doing so many things that a Christian ought to do, and yet still not enjoy the peace that comes with knowing that one's sins are forgiven. You know, in reality, we can do an awful lot of things on the outside, such as the rich young ruler who was abiding by all of the commandments from his youth up. But apparently the problem wasn't in that he was disobedient to the law. It's that his heart was still attached to the things of the world. And so in essence, we would come to the conclusion that this man, in all of his outward works, in all of the things that he had accomplished, and he lived by, even as a Christian ought to live by, the single thing that kept him from serving Christ or from being a part of the kingdom was that he neglected salvation. The writer of the book of Hebrews very clearly points out that sin in and of itself is enough to keep us from heaven. Do you know what verse I'm referring to? Hebrews 2 and 3, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Neglect. According to that particular verse, you don't have to be any deeper of a sinner or go into any more deep sin than simply being neglectful of your salvation. You don't have to be a murderer. It's not necessary for you to be a thief or a liar or a fornicator or an adulterer or a backbiter or a gossiper or a drunkard or froward or envious or covetous. You don't have to be any of those things. All you have to do is neglect. Just simply neglect salvation, and you can be nearly saved. Nearly saved. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. To hesitate on the threshold of the kingdom is more criminal than if you had never seen its obligations or never understood its delights. Did you get that? To hesitate on the threshold of the kingdom is more criminal in God's eyes than if you had never seen its obligations, nor enjoyed or realized its delights. Now, I've been brought up this way. You know that. You've heard that. Spiritually speaking, I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I had all of the benefits and all of the opportunities that a person could ever dream of to become a Christian. But in the midst of all of that, that did not make me a Christian. In the midst of all of that, that did not provide me with salvation. That did not give me a ticket to heaven, if you please. My mind goes to a man by the name of Nicodemus. We know and understand that Nicodemus was a religious, very religious person. He was so religious that he was very particular about the details of his life, the smallest of details. If we were to really get down to the nitty-gritty of the lives of these religious rulers, if there were any indication whatsoever that a hair misplaced on the head as the comb went through it, if it were out of place, then these guys would go to the extreme and make sure that it would never move. Are you following me? Their outward appearance had to be particular and had to be perfect. Everything they did had to be a certain way. There was no deviation from that way. It had to be done. Everything had to be fulfilled in their rules. They knew the prophets, they knew the law, they knew the Psalms, they knew all about the Old Testament writings. But here comes Nicodemus, and for some reason, we don't need to get into it this morning, but for some reason, he came to Jesus by night. I know we have a lot of ideas and speculation about that, and I don't need to get into it this morning. But he came to him by night and asked him, "What does all this mean?" And Jesus boggled his mind even further. "Say, you must be born again, Nicodemus." But in all of his wisdom and all of his knowledge and all that he had crammed into the cranium, he was still not able to comprehend what Jesus meant when he said, "You must be born again." Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that this born-again experience is really nothing more than the old passing away and all things becoming new. A change in a life, a change in the direction, a change in philosophy. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind." A change of philosophy. Born again. You see, it doesn't matter how often we sit in church. It doesn't matter how much we know or how much we understand. The bottom line simply is this, that we are obedient to the call of God when Jesus Christ said, "Come, ye must be born again." It'd be an awful thing for anybody here this morning to have to go and stand before God as the righteous judge and recognize that they knew all that there was to know about how to get to heaven and how to be saved, and yet come up short. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Someone may ask the question this morning, how do I come to Jesus? It's really rather simple. First of all, in order to come to Jesus to be saved, you must acknowledge that sin has separated you from a holy God. And because sin has separated you from a holy God, your condition is that of being a sinner. Being a sinner, you must confess that sin to God. And within the confines of that confession, there is repentance. A godly sorrow for sin. Believe that Jesus died and shed His blood to save you and to wash your sins away, make you a new creature, born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's really rather simple. It's so simple that we are made to understand by Scripture reading that it's so simple that though a person may be a fool, there's no need to be afraid that they can't enter in. Because it's so simple. Being so simple, don't you think that it would be wise for us to make sure that we're not falling into the category of the scribe who's just going through the motions and asking questions, trying to trick and trying to stump and trying to show how intelligent they are, but really get down to spiritual business and say, I don't want to be just nearly saved, but I want to be completely saved. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I ask you to stand with me this morning.